What is your name, sir?
My name is Paul Gardner.
Okay, let me get you to hold one moment, because we need to try to get another person on the phone, and as soon as we can see if we can find him, we will move forward. Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the parole hearing for Mr. Paul Gardner today. Am I correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
Okay, we're about to begin, at the appropriate time, we will call upon you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gardner, once again, would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Paul Gardner, 079027.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B-411 hearing, that is, parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And based upon information presented to the board, we take note that you are currently serving a sentence, murder first degree, had its beginning on September 25, 1989. You became parole eligible on May 23, 2015, and this is a 25 to life sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
Correct.
And if you're paroled to your next consecutive sentence, it would also be for murder in the first degree, and of course, it would begin at the end of the one that we have just mentioned. Since you cannot see us, there are three board members participating in your hearing this afternoon, and let me just take this opportunity to introduce them to you since we're doing this by telephone. They are the Honorable Mr. Louis Corrales, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair as well as your chair of the board. I will make just a few comments and then ask if you, and we'll talk to you and see what you would like to share with the board, and then we will receive information from the attorney who is on the phone at this time. Okay, now based upon information that the board has, and some of this, and what we always say is that if we have some information that is not correct, we'll give you an opportunity to give us correct information, because our information is taken from a parole package that's been presented to the board, and it comes from Ames, it comes from the pre-sentence report and other hearings that have taken place, and sometimes we do not have direct information. According to information that we do have, this is your third time appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The last time you appeared before this board was on March 21st, 2017, and at that time you were denied at that time, and two of the board members who are present today were also participating in that hearing, and the third board member who's present today, and that is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, he did not participate in that hearing because at that time he was not on the board. He's come on the board since then. Therefore, we would just want you to be aware of the fact that we do have one new board member, and we would like to give him an opportunity, if you would like, for him to get to know you much better, and to also to refresh the Honorable Mr. Kawanis and myself, to refresh our minds as well. We do acknowledge the receipt of your Institution of Progress report that was presented to the board, and the date of this report is October 27, 2017. And we do take note that you've had a number of programs, counseling programs, over the years. The last one that I see, and I need for you to correct me on this one, was the one that you did in 2012. Have you had any programming or counseling since 2012, sir?
I have not.
You have not. And why haven't you had any since then, sir?
Well, being a lifer, they don't allow us into programs anymore, so they have a priority ranking list, and the guys that are close to getting out of prison, get the preferred spots.
Okay, well, we do take note that you have had some programs in the past designed for living, computer technology, pre-release program, designed for living again, substance abuse, and so forth, thinking straight, and something dealing with the custodial work and business technology, and a number of other programs that you have taken. Did you receive your GED in the since you've been incarcerated, or did you already have your high school work completed before you were incarcerated, sir?
I had a high school diploma before incarceration.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that with the board. I also take note that your release plan simply says that you will be released to your next consecutive sentence, which is correct. Therefore, it's not necessary for you to have a release plan on the outside. And it also shows that you had no disciplinary violation since 2012 and has tested negative during the last, your last drug test that had taken place on June 8, 2017. So when the last time you actually used drugs, do you recall, sir?
I think it was 2007.
Okay, so you've been clean since then. We want to commend you on that. That's showing that you are making some progress. And you've not had any disciplinary violations since 2012. So is that correct, sir?
I believe so.
So what happened? I mean, did you just find a way to move forward, that you say, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm just going to be a good person while incarcerated? What happened that you haven't had any since 2012, sir? Any major ones since 2012?
Well, you get to a certain age and it's just, I guess I finally got accustomed to life in here.
Okay, well, you know, that's just a question that we usually ask, but you when you mention your age, unless Ames is wrong, well, you're still a young man. You're what, just 48 now, sir?
That's correct.
And, okay, so you're still a young man, young person. I would just, you know, point out a few things that we picked up as it relates to your, why we're here today and why you were incarcerated. Based upon the progress report, the pre-sentence progress report, as we already stated, you've attended several classes and so forth. But I will move forward now and just, and please correct anything that we might have here. And I don't want to go into too many details because we'd like to hear it from you. But according to the information that we've gleaned, that you actually stabbed your father and mother to death while high on drugs. And that, and of course, that was back in, as has already been stated, or maybe not stated, that was back in. Early and back towards the end of 1990s rather, that you had just recently moved back in with your parents for approximately 2 weeks prior to this incident occurring. You had a drug problem and your parents were trying to assist you. They made arrangements for you to attend a residential treatment program, which you refused. On the night that this incident occurred, you had to return to your parents' residence in the early morning hours after being out doing drugs. When you entered the house, you greeted your father, who was upset that you were still doing drugs. Your father told you that he had blown your last chance, and that he did not want anything to do with you. And your father told you he was going to kick you out of the house at that time. And of course, you became angry and felt hate towards your father. You then obtained a knife from the kitchen counter and stabbed your father numerous times, causing his death. Afterwards, you went into the bedroom where your mother had been asleep but was awakened by the commotion and stabbed her to death as well. And I think that's all the information that I'm going to share at this time, but I was just wanting to know if there's anything that you want to add or subtract, or anything that you want to tell the board, and especially Mr. Neal, since he had not had an opportunity to speak with you before, as it related to the incident itself, and then we will move forward to see what progress that you've made. Anything else, anything you want to tell us about the offense, or any information that I might have gleaned, or that might have been gleaned by this board, that I just shared with you, if any of that information is incorrect, sir?
The only thing I know so far that you said was incorrect, that this is my third hearing. This is actually my fourth.
No, you're fourth. Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct. I should have said you've already had three, but thanks so much for picking that up, sir. This is your fourth hearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Is there anything you want to tell the board about the offense itself that resulted in your being incarcerated for these two murders? Anything you want to share with the board, sir?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask board members if there may be specific questions that they would like to ask. As I said, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis was here back in when we met in March, and I was here, but Honorable Mr. Neal was not here. So I'm going to see if either one of them might have specific questions that they might want to ask at this time. As we always said, we're not retrying the case. We cannot do that. That's not the responsibility of this board, but the board likes to have enough information so that it can be in a position to make an informed decision that would be that would be helpful, and that would also be something that we can say to the citizens of the state of Arizona. So board members, any questions that you might have at this time for Mr. Gardner? I don't see any questions from board members. Let me just ask you one general question, and I'm going to move from the offense at the moment. In your own words, if you don't mind, you don't have to, but if you don't mind, would you share with the board, would you share with me why you think, if you think, you may not think it that way, the board should consider moving you to your next consecutive sentence? Have you done anything that you was called to the attention of the board, why the board could should consider moving you to your next consecutive sentence, sir?
The only thing I can say is, you know, as you can see, I haven't had any major disciplinary in over 10 years.
Okay.
And, I've kept myself out of trouble. I've aged. I can't think of any, you know, I can't think of any other reason.
Okay, so you have stayed out of trouble, and of course you have aged.
I've done every bit of programming that they've allowed me to.
Okay, sir. So I'm going to ask this, and I know this would be a long ways off. I know this would not happen today or tomorrow because this is a 412B. But, you know, I mean, as I've stated before, you're just 46 years of age. If and when you are released in the future, do you give any thought to that, or are you going to wait until you get closer to the door before you think about things like that, sir?
Oh, it's entirely too far away to try to think about that. I'd probably drive myself insane if I were to contemplate stuff like that.
Let me just ask one other question, sir. You know, since you are not in program, maybe it's two questions in one. Are you doing any work at all, any employment at all? You know, they do have some employment opportunities.
I'm employed, for sure.
So what do you do, sir?
I'm a barber.
Oh, okay. So you have a profession. So you're a barber, okay. And that's good to know that you're not just sitting around. Is there any unofficial is the wrong question. Is there any other programs that you might be taking that might not be part of what the Department of Correction would include on the Ames report? And I'm speaking of things like church services or cultural activities, anything else, music, anything else that you are involved in, sir?
Right now they're getting ready to begin a music program here, and they've inquired with me because I've played guitar in the past, and they would like me to perhaps help teach people how to play guitar.
I kind of remember that from our last discussion, one of our last discussions, yes, sir, that you, that's why I mentioned music, because I thought that you had had an interest, some expertise in music. As you look at where you are and where you have been, do you still maintain any community, family support outside of the institution where you are housed at? I mean, do you have any relatives or friends or community people or groups that have contact with you, sir?
There's really only one person out there that I have any contact with anymore.
Do you mind sharing with the board who that is, or the relationship, if you'd only share a name?
She's just a friend. Her name is Tammy Weber.
Okay. And so how did you get to know her, or how did she get to know you, sir?
It was actually through a friend I had in here who was released a long time ago. Just started out with Penn Pal.
This my next question, and you definitely don't have to answer it because it is a little sensitive in view of the crime itself that you are incarcerated for. Have you had any, and I'm not talking about recently now, I'm really going back to the beginning or shortly after the crime was committed. Have you had any contact at all with any of your relatives? You know, I know that this involved, you know, family members, but have any of them had any contact with you at all since you've been incarcerated, sir?
One-way communication only. I had a cousin that used to send like Christmas cards, but there would be no return address.
Okay,
and my sister wrote me a letter one time, and I wrote it back and never heard again.
Okay, I was just curious. You were young at the time, therefore you didn't you were not a father at all yourself at that time. You were too young. It's an assumption that I'm making. I'm just asking these questions so that we can get, you know, you were on drugs at the time. Do you remember what type of drugs you might have been using at the time that this offense was committed, sir?
It was cocaine.
Cocaine. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I don't believe any further questions from any board member. Yes, the Honorable Mr. Kamanis has some questions for you at this time, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Gardner?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question, and as the board chairman would say, you don't have to answer this, but you admit that you were under the influence of cocaine during the offense. But was there an underlying passion or struggle with your parents that drove the crime or the incident?
Yeah, there was.
I guess maybe I'm not being direct, but that there was a lot of anger going on between you and your parents?
Yes, there was certainly something beyond just the incident that happened on that day.
Thank you for your honesty with the board, Mr. Gardner. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Kiwanis. Any other questions at this time? We might have an opportunity to ask some other questions, but we do have the, on the telephone, we do have the attorney from the Coconino County Attorney's Office, and we do have his letter. But we want to give you an opportunity, sir, to share any information that you would like to share with the board at this time, sir. Hello, sir?
Yes.
Any information on the attorney?
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking to the attorney.
Yes, sir, I'm talking to the attorney.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking to the inmate.
I'm sorry, sir. Both of you thought I was talking to the other one. Okay. Well, yes, sir, Mr. Attorney, welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency again, and may we get you to state your name for the record, sir?
Yes, that's Michael Tunick, T-U-N-I-N-K. I'm a prosecutor for the Coconino County Attorney's Office. I've written a letter to the board, which I believe the board has received. Our office opposes any step toward discharge or even step toward the next life term. in light of the severity of these offenses, and, you know, I'll briefly go back. I won't spend too much of the board's time, but, you know, these offenses were very violent. The parents had taken Mr. Gardner in at his request because of his addiction to crack cocaine. He, on another incident, stayed out all night using crack cocaine with friends, arrived in the early morning hours. Just to add a little bit to the facts, but not too much, that Mr. Gardner did first stab his father after their exchange several times in abdomen, chest, left arm, and back. He left him behind, went into the master bedroom where his mother was sleeping, savagely attacked her, inflicting fatal injuries. Then he went back to the father, knelt next to him, and stabbed him five more times in the chest, which was essentially amounted to an execution. Under these circumstances, you know, these savage attacks indicate that Mr. Gardner is not safe at any time to live in any community from our perspective. He does have, it's been better lately, but, you know, after, and I've reviewed, you know, newspaper reports from the time, Mr. Gardner attributed the murders to his addiction to drugs and then went to prison and often used drugs. It looks like he's done better lately, but I think that our position is that it's too much of a risk to let him even take another step toward being back out in the community where he could have access to drugs again and you know, have access to people to commit violent acts against. So in light of those things, I'd ask the board to deny the defendant or the inmate's request. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Attorney Tulin, for your information. And just for the record, we do have the letter that you sent to us on November 13th of 2017. And thank you so much for sharing that information with the board. Board members, do you have any questions for Attorney Tulin at this time? Okay, I don't see any questions coming from board members at this time, sir. Mr. Attorney, you're welcome to stay on if you have other things to do. We know that you can leave us at this time, but we would be delighted if you were to stay on because we will continue until we complete this hearing. Okay. Now I'm back to you, Mr. Gardner, sir. Well, let me go to my board members first. Board members, any further questions for Mr. Gardner at this time? I hear none. And just for the record, as I look through this room and on the telephone, aside from Attorney Tunick, we do not have any others to participate. I'd like to always just raise that question. Are there any supporters present? There are none. Any victims present? There are none. Therefore, we're coming towards the end of this hearing. But as I've indicated, this is the hearing for Mr. Gardner, and therefore we give Mr. Gardner the opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision. Mr. Gardner, anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
The only thing I could say is if you look at my past history in here, for 28 years, there's never been one single incident of violence. I've refrained from any type of violence. I know I struggled with drug addiction for a long time, but that's past me now as well, and I've done all the programming they've allowed me to do. I don't know what more I can do other than allow time to go by.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so very much. At this time, the board is going into discussion. May sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not, or talking to the attorney, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. And following this discussion, the board will make its decision. As we always just like to point out, and I know both of you are aware of this, we operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. Everything that we do is done in public, therefore we will speak in public as we make our determination. We do not go into a room or leave this room when we make our determinations. Therefore, we will make a decision in just a few moments. I would also point out the fact that this board operates each member on an independent basis We do not consult each other. We don't even talk with each other about any case before we're sitting here on this panel. Therefore, I just like to point that out so that there's no any misunderstanding about how this board operates. At this time, the board will now go into discussion. The board is now in discussion. Again, this is a very unfortunate situation. The incident itself was a very unfortunate one. Although drugs were involved, and anytime there is a domestic violent incident, it is it's heartbreaking. But I'm just going to put it my way, just as one board member, but especially when it deals with the murder of a mother and a father and a mother in that order in this case. I think that to be sure, I'm going to be one because I like to be fair. To be sure, Mr. Gardner has made some progress in recent years. I have to weigh, and I can only speak as one board member. I'm not speaking on behalf of the board at all. But I have to weigh in my mind, has he made enough progress over the last few years for this board to feel comfortable in moving him to his next consecutive sentence? And as one board member, I have come to the conclusion that he has not, but I am prepared to listen to other board members at this time. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis.
Yes, I think I'm will be following up with similar language, and that is, as one independent voting board member, I believe that due to the serious and violent nature of the offense, that is the murder of married family members or parents, the passing of Mr. Gardner to his next sentence would not further the interest of justice nor be consistent with the welfare of the community. Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman.
Thank you so very much, sir. Honorable Mr. Neal.
No, I agree.
Okay, thank you. If there's no further discussion by board members, I am going to move to deny Mr. Paul E. Gardner, ADC number 79027412B. That is passed to his next parole, to his next consecutive sentence, or absolute discharge. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. By unanimous determination of this board, Mr. Gardner will not be passed to phase two. This crime took place, when did it take place? Okay. I believe that he was sentenced. He can have a 1 year set off. Any board member have any objection? I see any reason why we should not have a 1 year set off?
No, sir.
And I would also recommend a 1 year set off. And reasons for denial, serious and violent offense, loss of human life, lives in this case, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim. I'm also because, well, no, I won't say to the victim, they would not. But there was to the victim, there was serious bodily injury. No family or community support, which I always think is something that's very important. And I know the reason, although he has given the reason, and I agree with the reason, but I think that, you know, before he is released, there need to be more of programming that needs to be. I'm not going to include this time the recent disciplinary infractions because there's none that's recent, but there are many in the past. Board members, is there anything else that needs to be included at this time? Here is nothing else from board members. Mr. Gardner, you have heard the determination of this board. Is there anything that I need to repeat at this time, sir?
No.
Okay, sir. Well, in about a year from now, the Arizona Department of Corrections will recertify you to appear before this board again. Once they have made that certification, the board will place you on the calendar, and another hearing will be scheduled at that time. This annual hearing, we want to thank you so very much, and we want to thank you for being so courteous to the board today. And we also want to thank Attorney Tunick for his participation and for the letter that he sent to the board as well. To both of you, thank you so very much, and this will end the hearing. The hearing is over. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.